Shell, welcome to my humble little abode, to the Professional Plumber Podcast. It's obviously the first time that you are here, but the company that you work for, UPET, has been here before, and I've had a podcast with them before, so welcome to you. It's your first time here.
Thank you very much. We are grateful for being invited, and we look forward to the day.
Yeah. Like, I think we're going to share some interesting conversation or interesting information with our plumbers today. I always say, and we at the PRB always say, is that, you know, when it comes to the job that people do, construction workers, plumbers, it's as important to have the correct tools and equipment and components than what it is to have the correct knowledge and the experience. And I think that that's one of the things that UPET specifically looks at, as the components and the equipment and the tools.
Yeah, we focus a lot on the components and the equipment, and we focus on the knowledge how to use it. We believe in only doing a thing once. So we plan it from the beginning, and we make sure that our guys understand that when they're doing something, they do it once, they do it correctly, and there's no comebacks. Comebacks cost money.
Obviously, yeah. And that's something that very few of us have a lot of.
Eh? Yes.
So coming back to UPET, the fact is that UPET supplies a whole different range of products, and those can be applied for different phases when it comes to specifically the construction, the mining industry. They've got for the cleaning up phase afterwards, and they've got for the preparation phase and all those things.
So we call it position, open, fixed, closed.
The four position?
Position, open, fixed, closed. So position would basically be positioning your taps and so forth, which would be the Stabila brand. And then open would be our Milwaukee brand, which is your drilling, chiseling, core drilling. And then fix would be the Fisher, all the different fixings that you would use for Fisher. And then close would be the sealing of the job, which would be in the case of fire stop or foam sealing or special cements or so forth. And it's a combination. So from beginning to end, we walk with you through the building site.
So that's like, now you just mentioned the Fisher brand, and that's exactly one of the things that we're going to discuss today is some of the products of the Fisher brand. And that's lekker because we're gonna look at something very unique. I don't want to say something special, but it's definitely it's something unique, and it's something that most technicians don't consider in their daily work necessarily. You know, it's like they don't even think about this or whatever, unless somebody say to them, "Listen, when you do this part of your installation or this part of your job, have you considered this, and this? Have you thought of this?" And then they go, "Oh, yeah, I suppose I should." Hey.
And that thought process is very important because it also can cause the costs to go up if you didn't think of it. Because on the certain Fisher items that we're going to be discussing, it's more expensive to post-install than it is to pre-install. And very few people look at let's take a wash basin, for instance. You look at a wash basin standing there, but you don't look underneath what's holding it in place.
Exactly.
And this is where this product is. It's hidden in the roof. It's hidden in a wall. So you don't often see it, but it is everywhere. And I think your listeners after this will actually start noticing it in different places if they haven't seen it before.
So today we're going to talk about two things. Today we're going to first talk about FireStop, which is a fire protection solution. And then we're also going to talk about installation systems, and those are typically your clamps that you said, your fixings, your clamps, and your brackets, and your hangers. So let's talk about FireStop. Tell us quickly, is it a Fisher brand, part of the Fisher brand's range of products? And what exactly is it?
It is a part of the Fisher brand. So within Fisher, you've got different divisions, which is the fixings division that most people know from the hardware stores. And then we have the ACT. So very few people know, if you were right around in Joburg, all the glass buildings and the marble and everything that's put up against the buildings, that's used with the Fisher product. It's a special product that goes inside the glass or goes inside the marble. So it's a hidden product to hold the stuff to make it look pretty. And then we have what we call Symantec, which is all your bracketry and clamps to hold piping in place, as well as electrical. And then we have the FireStop range, which is a a passive fire protection. And then we have what we call industry, how can I say, process engineering, mm-hmm. where we help companies in processes how to process manufacturing. In South Africa, we don't get involved in that part. But in all the other divisions, we do, and of which Firestop is one I look after. Mm-hmm. And I'm extremely passionate about it. What people don't realize is it can open or close a business. Mm-hmm. It can destroy a household or keep a household. I personally lost the business because of it, and that's how I got involved in this. So I've been 20 years since I started with UPAT, from leaving a company that burned down. And I joined UPAT, and I got involved in the Firestop, and I've been trying to help the industry, the insurance industry, plumbers, and private people, that they never have to be in that position.
Mm. That's a pretty hectic. What kind of business was that?
So we were in a corrugated box business. We used to manufacture corrugated boxes. And next door to us was a candle factory. And the candle factory actually burned down. Like, and because of the candle factory and us not having the relevant fire stop between the buildings, I mean, this is 20 years ago. It wasn't even known. The spread across and damaged our machines. And the damage to our machines was only the grease that burned. But because the machines are manufactured in India, it's a 2-year waiting period to get new machines. So your business is closed. You now wait for 2 years for a new business. It's open or closed. Yeah. So fortunately, we were insured, but it's still a process going through insurance. It takes a long time, ask me.
But that's exactly why I said in the beginning of this podcast, and people don't always think of fire.
Yes.
I mean, and especially in the plumbing industry, when plumbers don't think of fire until a fire breaks out. And then, or it occurs, either electric short or whatever the case may be. But, it is a risk, and that risk should be either reduced or alleviated.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Firestop is a passive.
Yes.
What exactly do you mean by that?
So you get two things. You get active fire and you get passive fire. Active fire would be me actively picking up a fire extinguisher and killing a fire, or me putting in a sprinkler system that will actively kick in via a pump using diesel or electrical to spray, or a electrical alarm system that will activate and warn everybody. That would be active. It needs electricity, diesel. Mm. It needs some person.
Mm.
Passive fire would be probably the easiest way to explain it is a brick wall. A brick wall is there, it's going to burn, and it's not going to go anywhere for a good while. After a while, it will decay, and that's passive. No one has to be involved. No one has to be there. Okay. It does its work. It just needs to be checked on a regular basis, and that's what Firestop is. It's this wall is 2-hour rated to keep a fire back for 2 hours, and now you go and make a big hole in it with a pipe, and you don't seal it properly. So now you've just taken a 2-hour wall, and you've made it null. Because the fire is going to go through that and cause a lot of damage. We've seen it a lot.
Exactly. And that's what happens. That's what happens in all buildings. I mean, whether that's, an industrial building, an office building, a residential building, wherever, holes are drilled in the walls. It's put in, if you put your drain, your drain pipe for your toilet, that flush away pipe for your toilet. If you put that in, that's a hole through a wall. And that compromises that fire protection of the wall. And again, I bring it back to the fact that it's not something that everybody sits and thinks of and considers on a daily basis when they do their work.
So if you think of a household, let's take a normal household with a double garage on the side of it that you would usually enter from somewhere in the house into the garage. It's built on. That wall, depending on circumstances, has to have at least a 30-minute fire rating. So the door leading there would be generally a fire-rated door. It's supposed to be a fire-rated door. Any hole going through that wall, you're decreasing that 30-minute. So if you think a house will burn, depending what's inside it, around about 800 degrees Celsius, but in a garage, it's a lot warmer if there's a fire because there's cars, you have flammable liquids. And so your damage coming from that going into the house is very, very high risk for the building. And that's why the insurance companies and the building industry have it in place so that if a fire does start in your garage, it stays in the garage. And so you'll always see the wall inside between a garage and a house is built right through the roof, right to the tiles, and it's sealed. And any penetration through that wall has to be sealed. And that has to be done with Firestop. You can't just use normal cement. That'll spoil, fall out as soon as there's a fire. And there's a lot of products that people think they can use, but it's not certified and the insurance is going to get there. And you don't want to be in that position where you need to go and argue with the insurance and say, I did or I didn't do it right. They're very clued up as to what they do.
But okay, so tell me quickly, what does this product look like? How is it applied? Because you just mentioned you can't just use normal cement.
Yes.
So obviously, is this a type of a paste? Is it a type
so,
of a-
So you get different ones. It depends on how the penetration is working and what's going through the wall. So if you were to take a steel pipe going through a wall, let's say, for argument's sake, a 50 mil steel pipe, compared to a 50 mil PVC pipe. PVC pipe, if it burns, the pipe will melt away. And then you sit with a big hole.
Hmm.
A steel galvanized pipe, it's going to give off a lot of gas from the galvanizing, but the pipe won't melt that quickly. So you're not going to have a problem with that. You're going to have a problem between the wall and the pipe to seal around that. So when it's a PVC pipe, we need to consider the pipe melting away and we need to close that hole. So in that case, we'll have an intermittent product, which as soon as it gets heat, it starts expanding. And it'll actually, as the pipe melts away, it will start closing off the hole and seal it so that no smoke or heat can transfer to the opposite side. On a steel pipe, in the other side, is we would use a less intermittent product or a fire proof product that literally just seals between the concrete and the pipe. Because now we need to think of two different factors. We need to think of the wall's expansion rate it's going to have during the heat and the pipe's expansion rate it's going to have. So there's a couple of other things that need to happen, a couple of brackets that need to hold the pipe in place. But we want to seal around that and we need something that's can allow movement. So that's why you can't just use cement, because your pipe's going to move, and as soon as that happens and your wall moves, you're going to break that cement away and the gap's broken. So we would use what we call a mastic. So the mastic allows a 20% stretch, and it will bond to the brick, bond to the pipe, and it will allow it to move up to a certain point. And then depending on how long we need to keep the fire back will depend on how much of it you need to put in. So generally, a fire rating would be half an hour to 2 hours. It can go more, like you can imagine a theater where they operate. If they're doing open heart surgery, they can't just stop in an hour's time. They need to finish or get as close to finish as possible. So there they can go 4, 5, 6 hours, depending on what the specification is. So then it really, really gets very technical. But on a household, normal household, like we were speaking, it's half an hour wall. You need to seal it for half an hour. So, yeah, you'd use a product like that. There's about 8 different products. And you need to understand electric cable will melt away, so you need a product that will close it. So we would have an intermittent graphite product, where if it's something that's not going to melt away, we would either have a fire-resistant product or something that allows stretch. If it was just a hole in the wall, we would put a fire-resistant product in there with a little bit of item that can stretch, and that's it. It's a very simple gap. But if it's an aircon, which is very thin steel, we need to consider that's going to melt away, so we need something to close up, be it dampers, be it a graphite mastic product, steel, so forth. So people even think sprinkler pipes. You're putting in a sprinkler system, and you're going to stop. But if there's smoke, the sprinkler is not going to kick in. It will generally only kick in with heat unless it has sensors for smoke. But now we're reliant on Eskom. We're reliant on batteries. We're reliant on a person, systems, all kinds of stuff to kick in for the sprinklers to kick in. But in the meanwhile, you've got a hole through the wall where that pipe's gone, and that can go to your server room. That can go to the rooms next door. And it causes a lot of damage.
Damage, but it compromises those things that need to activate the rest of the system that protects against fire.
Yeah, and we've seen it. We've seen sprinklers kick in, and the systems work beautifully, and then it died within 5 minutes because someone somewhere in the whole process forgot to check diesel, and that had been either stolen or never put in. So it was a beautiful system, but that one little thing of not having diesel, and had they put fire stop in the building, they could have prevented the damage and allowed the fire department a half an hour to get there to start fighting the fire, which is why your house is half an hour. Because in general, the fire department would take about half an hour to get there, and then they can take control and manage it. And it also allows people time to get out.
Are there like standards or laws or regulations that compels technicians to install this kind of fire protection?
Yeah, so there is in the building standards, it is stated. It's a very, how can I put it? Some people would say it's a gray area. However, it's very black and white. Why we would say it's a gray area is because it's not one specific way. It's not, I have to build a brick and it has to be 2 layers thick. Because you're constantly working with items that are moving, different materials, it needs to be adapted. So how we work is every single possible method of a gap or something gets tested. It gets tested in overseas, and then we get what we call an ETA for it or a UL approval. And there's a database that you can go and look. I've got a hole this size. I've got a pipe going through. What do I need to do? And that database will show you this is what you need to do. But if that pipe is 100 mil and the next one's 200 mil, it's two totally different methods. And that's why there's not a fixed rule in the building standard, because they can't. There's just too many variables. So what they do say is if it's a half an hour rated wall, it needs to stay half an hour.
Mm.
And you need to do what's necessary to keep it half an hour. If it's a 2 hour rated wall, it needs to stay 2 hours. Where the rule does come very specific is between floors. Where your service shaft is, every single floor has to be 2 hours. That's a standard rule. And then depending on occupancy in the building, it will then say to you, it needs to be half an hour, it needs to be 3 hours, it needs to be 2 hours. So in the standards, it does say, if you go and read the fine print, it does say specifically if you're in a Class A building or a Class D building, what it needs to be. Obviously, hospitals, hotels, restaurants, theaters, those are the big ones where it goes 2 hours. 2 hours plus.
But it's strange. You know, many of our, especially our, what we refer to as our commercial plumbers who do, you know, high-rise buildings, whether they office or residential, but they usually do these kind of installations. They usually do installations for hospitals, for example.
Yes.
I know of plumbers, and I know them personally through you know, through work, that mainly works with hospitals and the installation of the plumbing systems in hospitals.
Nice.
And one would think to yourself, you know, because there's a difference between that kind of plumbing and your normal day-to-day maintenance plumbing. But still, it doesn't mean that your normal day-to-day plumbing doesn't need to comply with safety regulations or with safety standards or those kind of things. It doesn't mean that, you know, because you're not installing a system in a hospital where people can be busy with surgery, and if a fire breaks out, that fire needs to be sort of
contained
for 2 hours until the surgery is completed.
Yes.
Because the normal day-to-day maintenance plumber doesn't really think of that. But now when you're the more commercial plumber and you work with hospital systems, then you start to hear these things from you know, those building contractors, and they say to you, all right, but wait a minute, there's a standard that says this. I for one, as a layperson, I would never have even thought of that.
You can imagine going to a hotel. I mean, a hotel's passage is sealed, and you're in your room, and the guy next door's in his room. And yes, the rules say don't smoke in your room, but you don't know what he's done after a couple of beers.
Mm.
And his room sets alight, and you need time to get out. So Firestop will actually prevent that room's fire spreading to any other room.
Sure.
And that's how it's made. If you think I can take a 3x3x3 room, fill it full of smoke, and a pencil hole in the wall will allow the next room to fall within 3 minutes.
Yes.
So you think, okay, I'm in a hotel room or something. No, there's no hole in the wall. Look at the electric plug.
Yeah.
Electric plugs are three little holes. That goes into the conduit and where it's coming out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, again, I bring it back to your drain pipe from your toilet. You know, that's a massive hole.
And that goes from your shaft out your room into a shaft and the other room into that shaft. And if there's gaps between you filling that room, next door, full of smoke, and that guy, if he's had a couple of toots, he's not going to wake up. So, yeah, sorry. And then in the passages, even that, all the services that run in that passage between fire doors, it needs to be sealed up. Because if that fire door closes, that smoke can go through and it just moves to the next place. And at the end of the day, it's the smoke it's going to kill. It's not the heat. And if you go and think, we often explain it, if I just had to take a tire and set it alight in one spot in a building, if there's no sprinkler above that, that smoke's going to travel very quickly. We've seen how much smoke a tire can make. And that's not going to get stopped. It's just going to start filling up, and that will suffocate you in a very short time period.
Yeah.
So every little gap needs to be closed where it's a fire-rated wall or where the fire engineer specified. Mm. Yeah. And like you say, commercial, private, my flat building of 10 stories. We work extensively in hotels and high-rise buildings and stuff because that's where it's used a lot. And we see how things work. Yeah.
So you said to us now, you know, it Firestop, the product itself, contains fire for, let's say, half an hour, or it gives an extra half an hour, you know, for example, for the fire department to get to the site where the fire broke out. But what other, how can it be applied? And what other sort of benefits are there to the product itself that would make it stand out from other products?
There's a lot of benefits. One, the product's tested, and there's pre-approved installation method statements. Then there's thousands of them. So you don't have to go redesign the wheel. It's literally you get trained up how to do the system. And then it's a download and you do it according to that, which is your protection if something goes wrong. Because we've said, as an international supplier, that system has been tested and that's how it'll work. It's the same as your SABAs. Mm. We've tested it and that's where the big benefit is. You can do it through a lot of other methods, but you've got no proof it will work. And so somebody gets hurt or something, you need to be able to say that. Mm. The other benefit is this product has a 30-year lifespan. Some of it has a little bit less, mm. but it basically has a 30-year lifespan.
That's a long time.
Yeah, but you can imagine if I'm doing a big hotel, I don't want to do this every 5 minutes. So, yeah.
For sure.
And then we have products that are removable. So if you're doing a data center, which is a big business, is server rooms. So server rooms, again, will have gas suppression. So that's not so much in your plumbing line maybe, but more in the gas, but still they've got to do it. And we protect the server rooms, but we can't have any pipes running through there. Mm. And you can't have water in a server room. So you can't have damage to your servers because smoke is going to damage that stuff quickly. And if you think the whole company nowadays lies on the server.
Yeah, unless everything's digital.
Everything's digital. So that server room gets damaged, you've lost everything. And your company can close. It's just as good as you lost your machines. Even though most people are using their brains in the office, it's just as good as you lost your machines. You've lost your company info. You've lost. So what's nice about the product is it's easy to use. You can get trained on it. And it's preset, which guarantees you it's going to work. Peace of mind. And like we said, let's do it once.
You know, something that stood out for me is that you actually can give training or people can get training in it. Yes. So installers and technicians like our plumbers,
yes.
They can get training in this and learn how to properly use it and learn where and when and in on what conditions it should and must be applied. And then also how to use the specific products for specific applications. And that's a lack of thing for me is that training. That
Yeah, and the one of the reasons it's done like it is because not everybody reads the manual.
Mm.
So it's nicer for us to train them. And we also build a relationship with the guys where it's a simple picture they send to us and then we'll say, go do this and this and this. But eventually the guys get used to it and they know what they're doing because it's a lot of time it's repetitive. And then they carry on and do it themselves. But we teach them how to do it easily, quickly, and cost effectively. Mm. If you're going to go do it the first time, you always know when you do a job the first time, it's very expensive. Thereafter, it becomes cheaper. So we saw from the beginning, teach you the correct way of doing it, and you carry on with it. So you get certified by us that you're a certified installer. It takes a little bit of time, but that you're a preferred installer by us. And if someone phones us up and says, look, we're looking for a guy to do it, then we'll send them a list and your name will be on that list and they can ask you up to come and do the work.
Yeah.
It's an add-on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say knowledge is power. Né?
For
it
sure.
opens up doors,
yes.
but it also ensures the, after all, I think the end goal of everything is that you want to give whatever you leave behind for the customer, the consumer, must be optimally functional.
Yes.
So it must be a proper job done and it must be safe. You know, I think that's one of the things that people sometimes forget.
Yeah.
Is that they think, yes, like, check this. I've installed this proper, decent installation. But at the end of the day, it looks pretty, but it's not necessarily as safe as it can possibly be.
Yeah, so we often joke and we say to people, if you ever want to know how quick people react, is come home tonight and then all of a sudden tell everybody there's a fire and see how quickly you can get your people out the house.
Mm.
And I guarantee you it's going to take more than 10 minutes. Because if they take you seriously, they're going to start looking for photos and handbags and their toys and all kinds of funny stuff.
All the sentimental stuff.
Yeah. And then by that time, it's too late.
Mm.
Yeah. So do it once, do it correctly, and your family will be safe.
Yeah, I tell you. So that's Firestop. But now I want to talk to you about the installation systems. And I see Samontek? Is that the correct pronunciation?
No, it's called Samontek. Samontek is a system of clamps, brackets, cantilevers to hold your pipes in place that are fire rated. So it's a full-on design. It's a software design that gets used that you pre-plan. So you would on the software say, okay, I'm using this diameter pipe, this class, this is what's in it, water or gas or whatever. And then it will work out for you how far apart your brackets need to be, how many brackets you need to put on. And at the end of the day, it gives you a job list of what you need to purchase.
Yes.
And Fisher stocks all those items. So you can literally just go and pre-plan your whole installation. So let's say you're doing an underground parkade and you've got to do all the drain pipes and water pipes and so forth. You can pre-draw it out and let the system work it out for you. By weight, by everything, it works out your anchors into your walls. It works out every last little bit for you. You print it out. You send us that document. We package up the items for you. And
yes,
that's like. As simple as that. And what's nice is if it needs to be fire rated, we add in a couple of things. I don't know if people are aware of it, but it needs to be any threaded rod needs to be 10 mil or thicker. Otherwise, it's not fire rated. And everything needs to be anchored twice. Otherwise, it's not fire rated.
But that's what I wanted to ask you now, because you said fire rated.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to explain to me, as a layperson to me, but then also to our listeners and our viewers, what do you mean when you say that, I mean, things like brackets and hangers. And
so if you had to think the Gautrain,
yeah.
If a fire had a breakout inside the tunnel, you still need the water supply in there. You still need the electric supply in there for lights. You still need the fans. I don't think people actually have ever seen when you drive into the Gautrain, the massive fan on top. As you go into the tunnel, that actually is there to draw smoke out. So that electrics needs to be looked after so that fan can still get its electrics. All the pipelines inside, they still need to run. There's actually, we call it a river, actually in the Gautrain because there's so much water in there from drainage. So everything needs to stay functional. So if a fire breaks out, you can't stop. It needs to carry on. So all the bracketry holding the pipes in place need to be fire resistant. They need to last for 2 hours in a fire. You can't have the pipes falling or down because then your sprinkler system's gone. Or your water supply, main water supply is gone. Or the electrics are going to fall down. And in Firestop, we even protect those electrics. And you can imagine a theater. A theater needs oxygen. It needs all those pipelines need to be protected. And the bracketry holding it in place needs to be protected. And that's when we say fire rated. Those things can handle a fire at X degrees for 2 hours, 3 hours, depending on what the design is and how it's laid out. The anchors that go in the wall, they are designed in X type of concrete to last for a certain time period. It's not just putting a piece of steel into the wall. So it can get very, very technical.
But that's the
fact. But it's reality.
Yes, because as a layperson, again, as a layperson, yeah. I mean, the plumbers may be thinking of this kind of thing, but as a layperson, I never even thought, yeah. I mean, to me, a bracket is a bracket is a bracket. You know, that's, I would never even consider the fact that, is it fire retardant or fire resistant or not? You know, how long can it last in a fire before it lets the sprinkler pipes, you know, collapse?
You drive into a parkade that goes five floors underground and you're on the fifth floor. Well, no, let's make it easier. You're on the third floor and a fire breaks out. That system needs to keep going. Mm. I mean, everybody there needs to get out, and it's cars burning is a hot fire. So those bracketries need to stay in place, yeah. Need to do what they're doing all the way through. Yeah, and that's the fire rating. And there's a beautiful, beautiful computer system that works it out for you. It's free of charge. The guys, again, can come to us for training on how to use the system. Like we say, it's free of charge for the computer system. And they can design up, and then they also know peace of mind. Mm. The stuff's not going to fall off the wall when there's the next earthquake. Believe it or not, if you take Pelindaba, what's the power nuclear station down in Cape Town?
Kuiberg.
The anchors that go in those walls and that hold the pipeline systems, they have to be seismic approved. So in other words, they need to be able to maintain a very big earthquake to stay in place, because again, they can't come out of the concrete, and that concrete's going to crack and vibrate and all kinds of stuff. So it needs to stay there. And people don't think of that. A big explosion happening, let's say the Gautrain, a big explosion happening, that stuff needs to stay in place. That concrete needs to still hold its anchor. And that's what gets taken into consideration. You traditionally would think a 6 mil roll bolt would work, but you haven't thought of all the other things in the background that's going to add to it.
But who does? I mean, who thinks of these things? Who takes those aspects and factors into consideration?
Fortunately, we've got a couple of clever people in South Africa. We have some very, very clever fire engineers, and we have some very clever wet works engineers. And yeah, when they design a building, they add that all in.
Yes.
And people don't also know it, that we actually put a 1 in 7 safety factor. Well, 1 in 4 to 1 in 7 depends on the item that we add in for incorrect installation, people doing things wrong, not thinking of things like this. So if you were to take a Fisher plug and it loads 20 kilograms, which is what we suggested, probably loads 120. We've considered a whole bunch of things. Yeah. If you take a wash basin, how many people think of people sitting in a wash basin and that added weight?
I mean, how many people do that? I mean, there's a lot of people. You mom might be busy, you know, washing dishes, and the daughter or the son might hop on, you know, sit there and have a chat and conversation with mom while she's doing, or vice versa for that matter. But people do. They climb on to fetch something at the top shelf, or
and they grip the cupboard above them to pull themselves up. They've just added another 30, 40, depends on the weight of the person, onto that cupboard. So that needs to be considered in the background. And that's why we also have safety factors added in.
And that's, you know, that's why, you know, I always say when it comes to certain brands, certain types of products are associated with the brands. You know, when I'm going to say it like the, you know, creepy crawly.
Yes.
The pool cleaners. So people in South Africa specifically, when people say the pool cleaner, they automatically attach the name Creepy Crawly to it. Even what it can be Barracuda, it can be any other brand, but they speak of it as a Creepy Crawly. And it happens that in South Africa, most people, when they speak of a, you know, a wall plug, when you drill a hole and you want to put a screw in, that plug, that plastic plug, they call it a Fisher plug.
Yeah.
And it can be any brand, and they refer to it as a Fisher plug because Fisher has become synonym with that type of product. And the same goes with the bolts, because our plumbers, when you speak to them about Fisher, they think of the bolts specifically for geyser fittings and those kind of things, as well as the pipe clamps. So, but let's talk about the range. This you know, your installation systems and the semantic, the range. What kind of brackets? What kind of clamps? What kind of
you have what. What most people in South Africa would know is the CP channels, CP1000s and so forth. You have this range of channels, except ours is a little bit different. We have thinner material, and our formwork is different, so it can take a higher load for that thin material. Our stuff's pre-marked, it's pre-stamped, it's pre-punched, and the fittings that go into it, the bolts, the channel nuts, they are a lot easier. When we do a demo later, we'll actually show you how easy it is to put together. So we don't just give you a nut, a washer, and a bolt separately in boxes. It's all pre-assembled. So when you go to place and you need 10 brackets, 10 pipe clamps, and 10 nuts and washers, you literally take the channel, the clamp unit, and the pipe clamp. It's all pre-assembled. 10 of each, and you go and do the job. We've made it simple for everybody, and we've made it that no matter what your substrate is you're going into, we've got an anchor that'll fit. And no matter the distance you need to go out, we've got a bracket or a system of brackets that'll fit. Whether we have to hang it from above, whether we have to hang it from the side, whether we want the electrical guys to be on top and the plumbers to be underneath, or electric plumbers on top and gas guys underneath, we can do it all. And with the system, you can also, what makes it nice is we can take everybody onto one channel. So a lot of times, if you look in the building in South Africa especially, electrical guys do their thing, plumbers do their thing, and gas guys do their thing, and we've got four channels. And if you've got a 15-story building and you go and times that by 15 stories, you're putting extra weight onto the building. So this is where Fisher, with our system, allows you to not put that on. So yes, we have pipe clamps, very easy to use, rubber-lined, well, EPDM rubber, which will take the vibration around. I think you guys call it hammering.
Hammering, yeah.
On the pipes.
Yeah, and it's a very bad thing in the plumbing, yeah.
So we have a very special rubber that's on there with a specific design that takes that noise away. Our anchors that go into the wall, if we have a big problem, we can actually put a plug instead of a concrete anchor, which then takes the vibration transfer into the wall also away. You reduce it that way. And we can put the, like I say, we can put our brackets upside down, right way up. Depending on the fire rating, a different bracket. So it's a big system. If I had to give you the catalog, it's probably about that thick. Of all the different items. And what makes it nice is because we do the anchors, it's just an add-on to this. And then because we do the fire stop, is any wall that you go through, it's just an add-on to that, onto the system.
Sure. Well, we've spoken about, like your clamps and your hangers. What are the hangers?
So you get hangers, what we call it's a pear-shaped hanger, which most people would know, and that's on the sprinkler system. So when you're doing sprinklers, you need to take a lot of movement into consideration, because you have very high pressure coming through those pipes very quickly. So the pipes do move. So a pear hanger is literally the shape of a pear, but it doesn't hold the pipe sturdy. It allows that pipe to move this way as well as up and down. So you would have a drop-in anchor in the top. You'd have a threaded rod running down, and that would tie onto a nut. We don't use a nut and two nuts in a washer like the old days would do. We've got a special integrated nut, which is UL approved. You turn that on, and then you can turn by the nut. You can set your heights. So with your laser, your Stabilo laser, you can throw your line, put your pipe in, set your heights that it's all right. And then you've still got your movement, and you've got different diameters of this. But what's nice is you've got a full approval on that. It's fire rated, so shoot a fire breakout, it'll still stay in place. Mm. The drop-in anchors that go into the slab on top, you get different lengths because sometimes your rebar on the slab on top is very low. So you only get 30 mils that you can drill in, and you still need to load that pipe. And some of the pipes are 2-3 inch pipes. It's heavy stuff. So we have that, the threaded rod, and so forth with the pear bracket. So it's used in the sprinkler industry, to give you the short version of that.
Yeah.
Very widely used.
But it, you know, obviously there are quite a few benefits. Take us through the benefits. I mean, why? What are the key benefits of choosing UPET's insulation system, more specifically Fisher's? What are the advantages of using the products?
So we say safety in a box. It's a one-time fix. It's there. Your backup. We've got about 36 salespeople on the road, so you've got 36 people throughout South Africa that can assist you. It's pre-tested. We sell. I can't remember the exact number. I think it's 137 different countries that we sell into. Our production line is at such a speed, you'll be scary to see the volume. So we've tried and tested it. Fisher will not put a product on that will fail. I've been with the company 21 years. And yes, I've been to some fails, but it's never been our fault. Mm. It's always been a installer error or concrete that wasn't strong enough. It's something that I like and I'm very proud of is we never have problems. It's done, and that's what you want. You don't want if you're working for an engineer who's giving you a lot of work, you want him to know you can trust you and you're using the best stuff you possibly can for the budget, and he'll use you over and over and over. And that's what's nice about us is you get everything you need, do it once, and the job's done. Mm. There's no comebacks.
I know that one of the hot topics in the plumbing industry specifically when it comes to, you know, the putting up of geysers, is what type of bolts do you use? What type of fixing do you use? What is allowed by regulation and what is allowed by standards, or what is required by standards and regulation? So it is definitely, it's a hot topic. It's a topic of discussion. We've seen geysers come off, and the plumbers usually didn't would they would typically say, but it's the bolts, you know, the bolts weren't right, or
I think sometimes,
or vice versa, the manufacturer of the bolts or the fixing would come and do an inspection, say, but it was an installation technician's fault. So it's definitely a hot topic.
So I don't think many of your viewers actually know it. So you were talking earlier about you go to a store and you say, I want a Fisher plug. And then they might bring you any plug, and then they assume it's a Fisher plug. Every single one of Fisher's items actually has a fish imprinted on it. So if you had to put a geyser in with one of our products and it had to fail, we can't walk away and say it's not ours because it's got a fish on it. It's definitely ours. Mm. And when we need to go and pass down for that. And that's what makes it nice for us to know, well, that wasn't us, so don't try and push your luck. Mm. Or, yes, that was us, so let's have a look and see
what happens.
I mean, we do things for – when we're doing big contracts, we actually have a machine that you'd install those anchors into the wall and we load test it. So we can pre-tell you how much load you can put into that brick. All bricks differ. We currently now in a nice process with Corobrick, with training up the guys there. So we can actually pre-tell you, you're going to put a geyser on your 200 kilograms or 200 liter geyser. This is what you need to use. And a lot of people don't understand that a geyser actually constantly vibrates because you've got movement in that geyser. So you're putting a roll bolt in, or what they would classify an expansion bolt. You're putting pressure on the brick the whole time. Mm. And every time it vibrates, that thing is breaking the brick.
It erodes that hole,
Well, if you're using a plug and a coach screw, your plug is taking the vibration. There is no movement anymore. So it depends on what's allowed, what the design has been done, and like you say, what the regulation has been done. And, yeah, the guys can go do that. But we can't walk away and say it wasn't us. Even our drill bits that you drill the hole with, we can't walk away. It's got a registration number on it. It's got a fish on it. It has got a special approval, which a lot of people also don't know, is a drill bit actually has an approval for anchorage holes. So depending on which brand you buy, there's quite a few out there, not all of them can be used for anchors.
Sure.
So if you're buying an SDS drill bit, some of them are restricted. They can't be used to anchors.
And who, again, who knows this?
No, very
sure. I mean, and the thing is, a question, I want to go over to the presentation because I'm actually looking forward to seeing some of your products. But just the last question before we do that. That's why I think that, you know, the service that comes along with the products is extremely important. Yes. Because, I mean, the salesperson in the shop needs to know this. And yes, the technician can come to UPAT directly and inquire and get some training from you. You've mentioned that. But I think it's extremely important to know that, because not a lot of people would know that. Not a lot of people would know that certain drill bits, you know, wouldn't be able to do that.
No, when we're doing a critical installation, I mean, we often on the harbors, we'll do a 30 mil anchor or something. You've got to be very careful what you're doing, because we're putting a 50 ton load on it. And then those drill bits have to be precise. And if you're doing a little 6 mil plug, I mean, don't go and do this, but a 6 mil plug will hold 200 kilograms if it's done correctly with the right drill bit. So when we're doing that type of fine work, we also need to be very, very careful of what we're doing. And that's why the drill bits need to be approved. And for your installers, if they're using a drill bit that's not approved, they actually could be damaging their machines, because where it goes into the machine is not precise. And it could be damaging their machines. And we see it often. We can see it very quickly on a drill bit. On the slide piece where the bowl slides, we can see damage on the side of the drill bit. And then we know it's the chuck that's damaged. It's not actually the drill bit.
Yes.
And that was purely because they didn't understand. They looked at the price and they went, okay, this is a great price. Let me buy this. And then 6 months down the road, they throw the machine away because it's a rubbish machine. But it was actually the drill bits causing the problem.
Yeah. Listen, Shaul, I'm looking forward to the presentation that you're going to do for us and exhibit some of your products.
I hope you guys learned something new.
Yeah, and we'll come back and do a closing afterwards.
Excellent.
But let's go and set up for the presentation.
Awesome.
Shaul, floor is yours.
Thank you. So I'm trying to think how many times in my life I've done this. Okay, so Firestop is very difficult to show you practically. It's easier when we actually install it and burn it with a flame, which we do at our place. But the two main things that the plumbers would use is what we call a mastic. It comes in a tube like a silicon tube. It's very simple, cut off, process, put in the silicon gun and expand. The difference with this stuff is when it burns, you'll hear like a crackling noise, which is giving off a water vapor, which is like a steam layer that protects it while it's burning. And then you get the alternative one is you get a graphite mastic, which when you inject it around whichever you're putting it, and depending on how much you put, it will expand and it will take up the pipe. So let's say you're doing a pipe like this and you had a hole in the wall, 60 mil hole, you got a 50 mil pipe. Around that, you'd inject it. And as the pipe melts away, this stuff will expand and take its place.
Yeah.
Which is basically what we have here in a collar. It's just that would have been in a tube. However, this is pre-made. So when we were speaking earlier, we were talking about pre-installation and post-installation. So if you've pre-planned, then it's easy because now I have a 60 mil hole and I have a pipe and I can just fill because my allowance around the pipe is enough for enough product to work, because too little product and it's not going to work.
Yes.
But if I do a post-installation, then I need to go this route. Adds on the price, adds on everything. So what would happen, is I would wrap this around my pipe that's already in the wall, wrap it around, clip it through. Sorry, I was going to get it clipped. Okay, we put it through, seal it over. So the pipe's inside here now. We bolt this with fire-rated bolts onto the wall, okay, and it's fixed on. And should a fire come, this is what we would call like the graphite mastic. It's just in a wrap form. This will start expanding and slowly but surely closing off. So the outside of this is steel. That prevents it from pushing that way, pushes it closed. So when you were inside the wall prevented it going out. Now, because we can't do it in the wall, we have to do it post.
We have this on the outside, and that will push the pipe closed sure. as it goes. So there's some beautiful videos on YouTube and so forth where we burn the stuff, and you can have a look. And then when we do the trainings as well, we actually burn it, and we show you it lively working. And people tell us toilets don't burn. But if the pipe burns off, it's going yes. wherever it needs to go. And yeah. it's not just toilet drains that we're talking about. Mm. There's lots of other things that are PVC that need to be sealed off. Yeah, and between these two products and a couple of others, we can seal up any hole, any joint, anything. And a concrete wall is different to a drywall. A drywall needs different requirements because a drywall will move differently mm. to a concrete wall. That's why I say it's a bit difficult to do a demo other than physically doing it into yeah. a wall, and you can show the movements.
But like you said, you've got videos that the you know, our listeners, our plumbers can go onto YouTube, follow your pages there or your channels there. They can see proper training videos, or not necessarily training videos, but demo videos.
Yeah, and we can make maybe look at making one just for plumbers specifically mm. on stage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if I can move to the Symantec range, which adds on to this, which we will also talk to you. So what Symantec is channel. Everybody would know the basic CP channel. However, ours is a lot different. We have markings down the side, so there's no requirement for a tape measure anymore. So you can pre-see it's centimeter marked. So if I need 30 centimeters, I can mark off and I can cut. I don't need to measure. We've already put it in for you. Again, always got the fish on it.
Mm.
We can't say it's not ours mm. if something goes wrong. It's perforated, so if I needed to put threaded rod, I've already got the holes. There's no drilling on site. I don't have to have permits for drilling. It's all pre-done. And then probably one of the nicest things that I like is it's serrated in there. And what that means is if I'm using it vertically and I have to clamp, because of the serration, I'm not going to let my stuff slide down.
Sure.
So if I'm doing an item that I've got on there and I've got it on, because it's clamped, it won't slide down and I can put my item in place. If you don't have the serrations, you're constantly moving your item up and down yeah. until you can bolt it. Where this one is quick and it's in place and it's done for you.
I may be a layperson, but I've struggled with that myself. Yeah,
yeah, and then you get it in different formats. If we have to do very heavy pipe, it comes in a double format. If we need to do lighter pipes and we need to get lighter in the building, but we still have something heavier, lighter pipes. And then if we need to go very, very light, and this is becoming more common as we go, this is a 1 mil, and it's what we call the lightweight system. And that, in the new design, can nearly load the same as what a 1.6 on the old channel can do, and it's half the weight.
Oh my word.
And it's also a quick adapt system. So to give you an idea, if you were doing a cantilever bracket, in the old days, you would have a cantilever, and this piece would be longer, and then you'd mount your aircon on it, or you'd have your pipes running on the top of it, and that's how it works. Now what you do is you have this unit, and you have your channel. When you get to site, you literally take your channel, cut it to length, mount it, and you've got your cantilever. So now for the, I'll call it the smaller plumber that does one-offs and two-offs, he doesn't have to carry numerous things with him.
Yeah.
He carries the length of this and a couple of these, and he can do the job every time.
Yeah, that's very cool.
He doesn't have to do. And then we get to the nuts and washers. So all of us know when you're in the industry, you're constantly looking for all your stuff because it falls around in the buckies and it's going all over the place. So in the old days, you'd used to have the bolt, the nut, the washer all separately. So what they've now gone and done is they've joined it, like you see, yeah, your washer and your nut all pre-joined. Or you've got your washer, nut, and bolt. So if I was doing which I'm going to show you now, if I was doing a set off from the cantilever and I wanted to put a pipe hanger, this is what I'd need first. But I would have the problem again. I've got this against the wall and I want to hang a pipe off it. Now it's very simple. You take that and turn it. It stays in place. Now I can put my threaded rod in there and I can put my pipe clamp and I carry on. This is not going anywhere. I can tighten my nut.
Yes.
If I was doing a corner piece and I needed to put an elbow on, I literally can take this right through it. And then, right through it, twist it, and it's in place, and I just tighten it up with my thing. It's temporarily in place, and once I've tightened it up all the way with the spanners, it's fixed, and I can put my next channel. So if I needed to do something standoff or make a special racking when we're in the big factories and we have special pipe racks, join them all together, And if you look nicely, it's three components I'm carrying with me. It's not a whole bunch of loose things that are going to fall over the place. One of these is easier to find than a loose bolt.
Yeah.
And you need two of these, three of these, three of these, and you go to site. Okay, nice and easy, quick, strong. So let's just keep this one joined. And then without the system, you've got a whole bunch of other things that you can strengthen stuff. You can join ones together. If we want a pretty, we can put end caps on to make the ends pretty. Yeah. If you're living in a couple of million rand house and you've got stuff on, you want it to look nice when you're finished. Then we also have the benefit of being able to go around and join a pipe on, and there's different pipe brackets that go onto this. So if I had to flip over and we'd take the pipe brackets. Okay, so what would happen is, this is an alternative. This is for the lightweight. Let me just get the right one. Okay, so if I was putting a pipe clamp on, this is slightly an alternative, but you can get the idea. This is with an elastic. Okay, so all I'd need to do is push it there, twist it, and it's in place. Okay, then I can take that, tighten it down so that I can keep it where it needs to be, and now I can take my pipe clamp and turn that on. Okay, and my pipe clamp's in place, and I can do it, whether it was vertical, horizontal, depending on what we want to go and do.
Yeah. That's clever.
Nice and quick.
Yeah.
And it's pre-cut, pre-lengthed, not many things that you need to carry around with you. Okay. But why use a Fisher pipe clamp? Why not just any old pipe clamp? I'm going to show you something. Nowadays, labor is very expensive. So if we were doing this, you're either one, maybe two people that are working. Labor costs are getting there. Okay, so if I had that and I had it mounted up and I need to get my pipe in, I need to hold my pipe with one hand and I need to screw with the other hand. If you don't mind, just grip that side of the pipe. Now all it is I do that, take the bracket, and I can just, I can just push and it holds it.
Sure.
So I'm going to do it from the opposite side so that your people can see. So it's literally, that's there. I bring the bracket and I just need to push it over and it clips. Now that thing can hang. Mm. Once it's hanging there, I can move it forwards, backwards, place it in position,
and
afterwards
tighten
just tighten my screw. We can go down to one person, maybe two people when we're doing the work. Okay. And like we said, it's got the rubber on it. Obviously, you get ones without rubber. You get ones with thicker rubber. You get ones that are insulated, depending on what we need to do, refrigerated pipes, high heat pipes, and then different sizes up to, I think the biggest one is a 300 mil that these things can go up to.
Sure.
And then what people also don't know is I'm going to take, it's got two threads. So it can take a 6 and an 8 or an 8 and a 10, depending on the diameters of them as we go bigger. Like I said to you earlier, if it needs to be fire rated, it needs to be 10 mil and up.
Yeah.
So if it's not fire rated, you can use an 8 mil thread rod, a little bit cheaper, and carry on. If it needs to be fire rated, you now allow for a 10 mil.
15, yeah.
And you can carry on from there. So now what happens is, I've got to go into the ceiling, so I'll put a drop-in. Drop-in anchor is just basically a little stud with a wedge inside. You drill a hole and you hit it in, and it stays up there, and I turn my threaded rod in. Hang my threaded rod down, and that'll attach to this, or it'll attach to my pipe. But what happens if I've got an I-beam up there? How do I attach to the I-beam? Okay, again, now we have things like these. Okay, this is a Fisher product. You clip it onto the I-beam, you tighten it up, and you put your threaded rod through there, and you hang your threaded rod down, and it's now tightened onto the clamp. Fire rated, whether it's sprinklers, whether it's normal plumbing, you can hang it off there.
And it almost looks like a mini G clamp.
Yes, yes. And then it comes in different sizes. You get bigger ones, you get smaller ones. So what happens if I've got a really big pipe that I need to put on a wall, and it's only one pipe? I don't want to go do all the effort of putting all this stuff in there, but it's really a big pipe. And I need it fire rated. So now what we have is we have a half-inch clamp that you can put to the wall, two anchors, which you need for fire rating, half-inch galvanized pipe onto here, and then you turn your half-inch pipe clamp onto it, and you can hang off one bracket. You don't need the other items to do the same job. So you can cut on costs again. And that's what the benefit is of using all the Fisher. So it's a system of a whole bunch of different things you put together to get your end result. And the time saving. We want to save you as much time as possible and keep your volume of stock you need to keep as low as possible so you don't tie up your cash flow.
Yeah, that's interesting. These are very, very clever products, very, very cleverly thought out and put together. Obviously, quality, obviously reliable, safe for the purposes that it are applied for. It's so cool to see it in front of me. I mean, this one specifically, to our viewers, they can't see the inside, but if I touch it, it's got the rubber, the soft foam rubber on the outside. But then it's got a hardened type of foam rubber, a lot harder. If I squeeze it, I can't dent it with my finger. And you said that's for insulation.
So this is for cold water. If it's hot water, it would be red. And then that hardness there, so that the pipes don't damage it when you're moving the pipes up and down and so forth. Because the rest of it's very soft. And you can imagine what you're going to have from friction and stuff on the pipes. Remember, that's the thing a lot of people don't know is your pipes move a lot. So we actually have expansion joint clamps which allow for movement. We actually have some of these things that are on runners that allow. They're not permanently fixed. They actually run on a track that allow for pipes to move up and down and expansion. So what you're seeing here is not even a tenth of the range. Like I said, it's a big fat kettle, and a person can go through it, and at the end of the day, what you want will be in there. We have all kinds of weird and wonderful brackets. This thing, again, if you need to go into a channel, but you don't know what diameter, now you put it on, you hit it, and you know that once you've hit the mark, you've gone on the right thickness, everything's set properly, and the job's done, you're not coming back.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Now, sorry, if I may, one of the things is, it'll always be in a Fisher box, Fisher branded, like we have here. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this is just a sample box. And on the box will always be instructions of how to do it. There will always be diameter sizes to drill. And there will always be a website reference that customers can go to if they don't know what to do, to go and reference how to do it. And on the websites are pictures, videos, and so forth. So all the information you need to know is always on the packaging, whether it's retail that you're going to, or industrial, or commercial, it's always on the packaging. So that is also something that very few other companies have that we definitely offer.
But that's in addition to that, on how to use it and how to apply it, is also the videos that you said on the channel.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we have many videos, the software, there's lots of it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Stack, for this.
Pleasure.
So cool to see the stuff. And I think it's so much more interesting for our plumbers, our listeners, and our viewers. But let's go close this episode off. Thanks for this, Shaw.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Shaw, thanks for that. Thanks for showing off some of the products that you have.
Pleasure.
As always, it's very, very interesting for me to see. And I know for a fact that especially our viewers who could see it, and even our listeners as well, who just listen to what you explain about the products, and seeing something on camera or seeing something and holding it in your hands is just different from walking past it in a shopping aisle and just taking it and putting it in your shopping basket when you're doing a product. So thanks for that. I appreciate that.
Pleasure.
But before we go, I wanted to say to you, I think that I have had conversations with you, Pat, and at the PRB we do CPD, continuous professional development, and we've had conversations about possibly putting a couple of courses together, specifically when it comes to the fixings and those kind of things, because it is such a hot topic in the plumbing industry, and it is such an important thing. The pipe brackets and those kind of things. Those are very strict requirements, both regulatory and from the standards as well. So I think that it's important for our plumbers to learn more about that. And I think that you guys are the perfect team to present that kind of training to them.
No, we do it with pleasure. And your listeners also, if they see us at one of your trade shows or one of your open days, come and ask us the questions. That's why we're there. We come with the stuff. We bring our trailer. We've got samples. And you can ask us the weirdest and wonderful question. If we can't answer it, we'll find out and we'll come back to you. But fortunately, our guys are well-trained and they've been around for a long time. And we can teach you. And it's also nice to hear what's happening in the industry. So the guys must come talk because we could learn something from your guys as well.
Sure, we've got on in our registration, we've got, you know, quite a number of commercial plumbers as well who do those, typically the kind of system designs that you said, you know, your underground parkings and your yes. high-rise buildings and things. And you said something like they can do a draw up of the design and then give it to UPET or to Fisher or whoever to calculate and work out which bolts fixings and which clamps and hangers they should use for what?
So if they trained on the system, which is something we offer, it actually calculates it for them. So at the end, they actually have a purchase list, a stock list, and then they can go to whoever they're buying their stuff from, direct from us or from Plumblink or whoever else they're using. And there's the list, and they know if they've got the items on the list, they've got what they need, and they don't have to worry. So, yes, it does a shopping list for them. They've learned how to use it. Everything else is simple.
Is that a computer system?
It's a computer system, yeah. Free of charge. The training, we have a small fee that we charge, but it's really a small fee.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to make sure that people come.
Yeah.
They don't. We unfortunately, yeah. When it's free, we have problems.
Yeah.
But yes, the program is totally free of charge, and it does everything that you want. You download it. And if you want to play with it now already, you can go onto the Fisher International website and under Fixperience. They can go. We have one for roofs. We have one for rebar. We have one for handrails. We have one just for anchors. And then we have one for facade. That you can, if you know what you're doing, you can use it already. If you don't, book a training with us and we can come do it. Yeah, we can do it there by us, wherever. Get our engineers to show you guys. And we go from there.
That's lucky. Yes, that's very, very cool. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
It was the first time I've heard about
it. It's what the engineers would use when they do a design. It's to double check themselves.
Right? Sure. Listen, it was fun speaking to you.
Awesome.
It was interesting hearing what you had to say and the knowledge that you've shared with us. Interesting to see what you had on display. Where can the plumbers get hold of you? Where can they get the range of Fisher products or the... Is it only at the UPET, UPET display centers or in most retail stores as well?
So plumbing would be in more specialized stores, although it is in the big box stores. The best starting point would be to go to our website, go and look what's available and take that to your relevant store and say, look, this is what I want. And if they don't have it, they'll order it in. Otherwise, they're more than welcome to come to us. Our stores are catering for more education and what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there's lots of resellers that are out there, lots of big box stores that stock the items. But go and look on the website first what you want so that you're not going in blind.
100%.
And then, yeah. But they're welcome on the website. We have a support email and we have a live WhatsApp chat.
Mm-hmm.
So they can on the WhatsApp chat, if they run into a problem, take a picture, climb on the chat to us, and we'll advise there. Alternatively, on the support email, send us a mail and someone will get all of them and yeah, we'll chat to them.
So telephone number, email address, they can obviously also get from the website.
All of the website.
The website, is that upet.co.za?
Yes, upet.co.za. That's the South Africa one, which has all the different brands we do in South Africa.
Sure.
But there's nothing stopping anybody using the international one as well. All the relevant documents they would want is all on there. And then, yeah, if they want training, get all of us and yeah, we can see what we can put together.
Lekker. Sure. Thanks for your time and your effort and having come through. It was awesome having you on the podcast.
Thank you. We hope you invite us again.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up, definitely.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay.